This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. The first time I, and probably you, saw Matthew McConaughey was 20 years ago in Dazed and Confused, Richard Linklater's coming-of-age comedy about 1970s teenagers. McConaughey perfectly played David Wooderson, a Texas dude in his 20s who still hangs out with high schoolers for the fringe benefits.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age. They just
Two decades later, McConaughey has given maybe the best performance of his career as sort of a grislier, older, not really very grown-up version of David Wooderson. In Dallas Buyers Club, the actor lost about a quarter of his body weight to turn into Ron Woodruff, a macho Texas hellraiser who gets diagnosed with AIDS in the 1980s.
Why are we here?
Just for this wine, dine, have a good time, enjoy ourselves.
Right.
It's as simple as that, I promise you, Doc. Come on, try it with me. Breathe. Relax. Smell the steak. If you need more inspiration, just look at the handsome man sitting across the table from you, paying for your dinner.
And Matthew McConaughey, welcome to Studio 360.
Good to be here.
When you were preparing to play Ron Woodruff in Dallas Buyers Club, did you ever make the connection that he was conceivably the grown-up version of Dave Wooderson in Dazed and Confused?
No, and I don't think there is one, but I'm curious because someone else said that.
Really?
Yeah. Now, where'd you get that from?
These guys in Texas who, you know, he could have gone that way.
No, I don't think so. As Wooderson says, he's got it figured out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Wooderson's back there right now, probably married, got three daughters, and I think he's hosting a late midnight radio station playing his greatest hits.
So this character, Ron Woodruff, plays it closer to the edge in more dangerous ways before he ever gets AIDS.
Yeah, well, Ron Woodruff was talking about living on the edge, and if you're not, you're taking up too much room. This guy was clawing at the edges, and I mean, not like he was the only one living a wild, wonderful lifestyle, as he considered it back then, I'm sure, but he was also a guy looking for a line in life, looking for a little structure and what to do. He was unsuccessful somewhat at his job. He was a guy who couldn't finish anything.
He was an electrician on the oil fields as well as riding bulls in the rodeo.
Yeah. And at that time, you know, I got a hold of his diary from his family and I saw who the guy was before he had HIV. And here's a guy who wanted out of there. He wanted to – and he didn't – ironically, he didn't really find direction in his life until he got HIV, and that gave him something to fight for 24/7.
I want to play a clip from the film in which his doctor, your doctor, played by Jennifer Garner, confronts the character about stealing her other AIDS patients, essentially.
Roger Thompson. This is my patient. You treating these people?
Oh, they're treating themselves.
With what?
Vitamins, peptide T, DDC, anything but that poison you're hawking. So you ever wear any color? Seems like every time I see you, all I see is white. You got white coat, white shoes, white.
Tell Rayon I was looking for him, and I am telling my patients to stay away from here.
Why?
Excuse me.
So you want to go grab steak sometime? I know it's red.
So we're dealing with HIV, and we have an AIDS drama. Well, okay, it's coming from a heterosexual's point of view. That's original. But this guy is a son of a bitch. And after he gets it, he's not the same son of a bitch he is when you meet him. He wouldn't have got the things done that he got done unless he was that candidate.
This kind of skeevy outlaw guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was a little Scarface.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, he was smuggling in vitamins and drugs, and he was selling them on the black market. And even though it was Dallas Buyers Clubs, and there was a club in New York, there's a club in San Francisco, there's a club in Florida, they were cutthroat. They were like little mafias. They were not working together.
Even though they were trying to get these unavailable drugs to HIV AIDS patients.
To live longer and live healthier lives. They were cutthroat.
It seems that you must have filmed Dallas Buyers Club around the time you filmed your brief role in Wolf of Wall Street. You play this coked-out guru broker who shows Leonardo DiCaprio's character the ropes at the beginning of the film. I want to play a little bit of you teaching him your tribal Wall Street trader chant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that in a fancy restaurant in Wall Street. Now, that chant sounds – or the not the, the chant, but the hitting the chest is sort of like something my wife does every morning. Is it something – was it scripted or is it something
– No, it wasn't scripted. And it is actually something I do most mornings. What's your wife do?
She does a whole Qigong, Tai Chi practice.
So it's voice. It's relaxation. Yeah. That's exactly what I was doing it for. I do it before I'll go act to get my voice down low, to get it out of my throat, to relax myself, to actually somewhat look foolish and make people go, what the hell's he doing? Which is empowering if you're stepping into a production for one day's work and they're all working together already for months. So I do it myself, and I was doing it before each take, and then we'd say, okay, now we're ready for the take, and I'd stop and start the scene. Well, we had done the scene 5 takes, and we had it.
Without that.
Martin was happy. I was happy. Leonardo was happy. So he goes, okay, man, I think we can move on. And Leonardo raised his hand. I remember a finger in there. And he goes, hang on a second, Martin. He goes, hey, McConaughey, what's that thing you're doing? And I told him, it's for my voice to relax. And he goes, what if you put that in the scene? And I said, okay. And so we started the next take, and I started off the scene, did it, and then got into the scene. And at the end of the scene, it was like, okay, well, let's bookend it because you just laid out the lay of the land. Let's bookend this prophecy you just laid out in a common denominator baseline, like the rhythm I started. Now you get it. Now do it with me. Now you got it. There we go. Now you'll be on your way.
I've never heard a better example of improvisation that works and is important. It's not just, oh, that's funny. It is funny.
Yeah.
But it really kind of makes that character in the very few minutes he's on screen.
The last couple of takes, I don't think Marty and I even really spoke English. It was all sounds and movements and the fairy dust stuff. And so we got into the cosmos.
Yeah. In so many articles and interviews you've given over the last few years, you've mentioned this second coming, this, as my daughter some time ago informed me, the reconnaissance. After a year off from working, you started taking on these more challenging roles, playing anti-heroes. And now we have this kind of astounding run of great performances in these distinct movies. Bernie, Killer Joe, Magic Mike, Mud, Dallas Buyers Club, Wolf of Wall Street, in a very short period of time. Were these kinds of roles and scripts just not showing up in your box? Or did you change your criteria for what you thought you should do? Or what happened?
It was both. I mean, they were not. I was I got the call from Steve Soderbergh from Magic Mike. I got the call from William Friedkin about Killer Joe. Mud was something. Mud was around. Mud, written by Jeff Nichols. He wrote that with me in mind 12 years before we made it. So that was there. But, without Mud, I don't know if Scorsese calls, because that's the film that he saw that the producer of Mud, Lisa Falcone, showed him that made him go, this McConaughey is interesting with this. So one, they weren't coming. Number two, I was not obviously a good idea for these directors at maybe 2 years prior. So what I did was I took some time off, talked with my wife, my agent, and said, look, I'm going to recalibrate my relationship here with what's going on in my career. And I like what I've been doing, but what I've been doing, I feel like when I'm seeing another romantic comedy or action comedy or action, I feel like I can do that next week. And I'm not shaking in my boots enough. It's not moving my floor. And I want to do something that scares the hell out of me and get in some things that I really feel like I can give more of myself to. And so that meant taking some time off and going into the shadows. Now, what happened in that 2 years? There we go in the funny way life works, and somehow the target drew the arrow because all of a sudden I became a good idea.
I mean, I've never seen such a radical and instantaneous transformation of a guy who is perceived as one thing into a guy who's perceived at the top of his game as another thing.
Right. I packed my back-to-back of last year, the Magic Mike, Killer Joe, Paper Boy, and Mud. I wanted to do like two of them, and then I didn't feel like I had time to do the other two. But I was like, I need a little more break. And it was my wife who said, hey, grab your pair, man. If you want to do all four, we'll make it happen. And let's get it on.
Magic Mike, which you mentioned, which Steven Soderbergh directed, it was an independent film, but it was a bigger, showier thing from the get-go. It's a kind of perfect left turn from what you were familiar with.
Well, it was not a left turn. It was more of what I did in that for a lot of people is I popped the proverbial balloon. I kind of took some of what was my image of, hey, man, you're in shape, shirtless on the beach every day and going running. And I said, well, let's go to the Smithsonian with this.
Yes. Let's play a clip from that film. This is, in fact, you playing this guy, Dallas, who's a veteran stripper, and he's teaching an up-and-comer some moves at his club.
Yeah. You're not just stripping. Are you all fulfilling every woman's wildest fantasies? Right? You are the husband that they never had. You are that dreamboat guy that never came along. You are the one-night stand, that free fling of a that they get to have tonight with you on stage and still go home to their hubby and not get in trouble because you, baby, you made it legal. You are the liberation. Own it.
That was Matthew McConaughey in Magic Mike and here in front of me silently reciting the lines as his character said them.
I remember that. It was my first day of shooting. That was the one that got Dallas off the ground, and the wardrobe was so much fun in that. They had all these sweats and Rydells and Champion sort of sweats that people would wear at the gym, and I was like, no, this is Richard Simmons meets Baryshnikov. Yeah.
2014, you're going to be in this big Christopher Nolan movie, Interstellar, which a certain part of the world couldn't be more excited about. But you're also in this HBO show called True Detective with your old pal, whom you've worked with before, Woody Harrelson. Your character is this troubled kind of Nietzschean figure in Louisiana. He's a homicide detective. You play him when he's both 30 ish, I guess, and then in his mid-40s, seemingly a different man. Was that part of, in that case, the acting challenge that said, that's interesting?
Well, the 17-year span that you're talking about was part of the interest here. I mean, number one, just basically, I read the first two episodes. That's what was submitted to me, and they wanted me to look at the role Hart. And while I liked it and said, I understand why they're coming to me for this role, the guy who I can't wait to hear what comes out of his mouth every time I turn the page is this guy, Rustin Cole. And I've never done that, but I know who this guy is. And so I read the first two episodes and said, look, I like the role of Cole. If you guys are interested in me for Cole, I'm in.
I contemplate the moment in the garden, the idea of allowing your own crucifixion.
But you're not a Christian, so what do you believe?
Look, I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
Okay, what's that mean?
It means I'm bad at parties.
Let me tell you, you ain't great outside of parties either.
You know, when you first meet Cole, he's a guy, it's all boiling underneath. He's trying to hold it together. And here's a guy who has to have a case to figure out to survive. If he doesn't, he goes off the rails. And he's holding – this. Having a case is what's holding him together. Now, what you see 17 years later is a guy who submitted and said, yeah. Hey, man, all the rough edges are what they yes. are. All right? This – I am what I am in this life. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no – Rustin Cole is a man who does not con himself, as we all con ourselves. This is a man with a constitution and a self-counsel that is – hard to watch, and boy, you wouldn't wish it on anybody.
You seem like such a mentally healthy person, which is interesting given that the McConaissance and this run of movies is about playing not so mentally healthy people really beautifully.
They're not maybe not so mentally healthy, but I didn't look at any of these characters as unhealthy. I thought they were all absolute geniuses in their own way, and I think they're great human people. Now, if I can hang my hat on humanity, I'm going to find what I think is some genius and be honest. I think Rustin Cole, I loved living in Rustin Cole's head. You may say this guy has got real problems, but he doesn't deal with mendacity or bull himself one iota. Now, is that a hard place to live? You're damn right. Yeah. We con ourselves daily to get through the day and we slough off some things and say, I'll let that slide.
Yeah.
Well, what if you didn't let anything slide? And you called everything as exactly what it is.
Yes.
And what is it? Huh, be a long day, man.
Liar, liar, not as a comedy.
It would be a long day. So, you know, I mean, look, I'll say this as well, and I think this is an aphorism that goes along with what you're saying. The more secure a man feels at home, the higher and wider he can fly outside of it. You know, I have more security at home. I have a great wife. I have three children. Those are incredibly grounding things that are a natural law. At any moment, at any time in life, whatever's going on, if it has something to do with the family, that immediately takes first place. You know what I mean? So to have that, I'm able – it definitely gives me courage to go out and go, hey, man, I'm gonna fly.
Matthew McConaughey, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Matthew McConaughey is currently in Wolf of Wall Street and True Detective on HBO, and he's been nominated for an Oscar for his performance in Dallas Buyers Club. You can hear a lot more of our conversation, including a career word association game I had a lot of fun playing with. That's at studio360.org.
It's the man in the moon come from Texas. That is where my heart was.